news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today from the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson, and what an exciting week it has been. And as you may have heard, the annual party isn't going to stop anytime soon, as the FFA has signed an agreement to hold the convention in Indy through 2031. FFA convention correspondent Carissa Larry had the chance to sit down with Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, as well as Chris Gall, Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Visit Indy, to find out what this year's event and those in years to come means to the city.
This is Carissa Larry here with FFA Today, speaking with the Governor of Indiana at the 92nd National FFA Convention. Out of all the events and sports events here in Indianapolis, why is the FFA so important?
Well, Carissa, I tell you, it's important because of what comes out of it. This isn't just keeping score of a competition between two athletic teams. This is going to determine where, not just Indiana, not just 50 states and territories, but literally where the world might end up in 10 or 20 or 30 years. And so with all the stresses and strains on food and water security and shortage in some places, the discussions that take place here will have an impact, we hope, positive impact on every nation, every state, no matter how rich or poor they are, no matter how abundant resources are or shortages are. It's the collaboration that comes out of this kind of convention that then is, they're like ambassadors in that convention hall. Those ideas, those thoughts, those solutions are taken across the globe to improve the quality of lives. And it's an ever-changing sector, and quite frankly, the subject matter is just, it couldn't be more exciting.
And agriculture goes way beyond farming, even to the roots of technology. What advancements have contributed to our farmers here in Indiana?
Well, we're able to do a whole lot more with less in terms of technology. And you talk about the improvements of supply, quality, ability, precision agriculture, and the ag biosciences sector itself is light years from where it was 10 years ago, just a decade ago. And so how we are meeting and addressing the needs of our citizens and the world, a lot of that is happening in the heart of the heartland called Indiana.
With over 70,000 people attending the 92nd FFA convention this year, could you tell us how proud you are to have Indianapolis host since 2006?
Yeah, I'm bursting with pride. And I say that because the numbers, the attendance numbers continue to grow year after year after year. This is something I bragged about, not just proud of it, but I bragged about with Prime Minister Modi from India. A guy that leads a nation of 1.3 billion people where this subject matter is very important to the destiny of his nation and its future. And so I'm extremely optimistic about 70,000. It's 65 now. That number is expected to grow to 70,000, which represents 10% of the total FFA membership membership across the country. And so how proud, I couldn't be prouder of having everyone descend upon our capital city. We get to show off our capital city, and we like sharing our Hoosier hospitality.
Eric Holcomb, Governor of Indiana.
Now, speaking to Vice President of Marketing and Communications for Indy Visit, we have had so many people come out for this FFA convention this year, and Indianapolis has been crowded with wonderful people here in agriculture and beyond. What kind of impact has that made here for Indianapolis?
Proud that Indianapolis is again hosting this convention. As a point of perspective, the city hosts more than 600 conventions a year. FFA is one that we look forward to and plan for year-round. This convention will generate more than $40 million in economic impact during its duration, and more than 70,000 visitors will descend on Indianapolis as part of this gathering. The Sea of Corduroy not only stays in our hotels and dines in our restaurants and shops and generates that visitor spending, they also hopefully leave with a positive impression of Indianapolis. And if you look at this unique convention, bringing together these thoughtful emerging leaders for 4 days. The hope is that they will have a positive impression and leave Indianapolis with a positive impression, go back home. Maybe they come back and go to college here in Indianapolis. Maybe they come back and enter our workforce or raise a family. So hosting this convention is a big win for tourism. It's also a big win for workforce and town attraction. The idea that people might come back to Indianapolis as visitors or as residents because of their time on the ground here and how it shapes them and moves them and hopefully evokes a positive emotion when they think about Indianapolis.
So you work with Visit Indy. You're the vice president over Visit Indy. So what has been the biggest, achievement for you here with the FFA?
Yeah, so we were very proud that National FFA signed up to hold their convention in Indianapolis through 2031. If you stop and think about that, here we're in 2019, they have so much confidence in Indianapolis and the state that they're willing to sign contracts and say, we're committed, thank you for your partnership, we will host this annual convention through 2031. That is a point of pride for our hospitality and tourism community. That is a point of pride for the state as a whole because of the economic impact, but moreover, because of the thoughtfulness of these visitors and what we gain and learn from them being here on the ground. So that's a real big win for us, and we don't take their business for granted. We don't take for granted just because their headquarters are here and they've been convening here that they'll continue to do that. So it's a big win to get them through 2031.
And so we're speaking thousands right now for this FFA convention. What are the numbers going to look like in 2031?
That's a great question. What will the city look like? How will you move throughout the city? Certainly we'll have an expanded convention center. We'll have more hotel rooms. We'll probably have more mass transit options. We'll have more restaurants. You could project that based on current growth patterns. We'd see 100,000 National FFA students in and around that convention and expo. And so I'll be interested to see what the demographics and what a convention year looks like in 2031 here in Indianapolis. But all positive, all forward momentum.
Thank you once again, Chris Gall, Vice President over Visit Indy. We thank you for talking with us for the 92nd FFA convention. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
This is Carissa Larry with FFA Today.
Well, sadly, one guest who won't be joining the convention through 2031, at least not from the stage, is longtime National FFA advisor Dr. Steve Brown, who announced his retirement earlier this year. And as Dr. Brown welcomed members, advisors, and guests, he made sure to give thanks to all the FFA has done for him during his years of service.
Hello, FFA members, advisors, and guests. On behalf of the National FFA organization and the National FFA Board of Directors, I welcome you to the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo. You know, for 92 years, FFA members from all across our great nation have been gathering just like this. It is remarkable, quite remarkable, to think about how far this organization has come. We started with 33 farm boys at a hotel in Kansas City, Missouri, back in 1928, and now we're filling up an NFL stadium. But you know what? The incredible growth of FFA is not surprising. That's because the idea and purposes of this organization are noble, relevant, and focused on the future. We're growing because of FFA members like you who see the broad opportunities in agriculture and its importance to the future of our planet. We're growing because agriculture educators everywhere are going to bat for our incredible three-component education model. Our classrooms incorporate science, technology, engineering, math, communication arts, and employability skills. For that, agriculture educators everywhere deserve all of our praise. We're growing because of the efforts of our agriculture education-related organizations that make up the National Council for Agricultural Education. I encourage all of our leaders of these groups to keep thinking ahead, plan for the future, and dream big. These efforts have led to an FFA that has never been bigger. We have a record 700,000 FFA members in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And this year, we celebrate 50 years of female membership in our organization, a change that was too long in the making, but one that has benefited all of us in so many ways. The capability to embrace and encourage positive change is a crucial skill for so many FFA activities. I'm proud to say that over the past year, our organization has done just that. You can see that in our new convention venue here at Lucas Oil Stadium. You can see it in the updated FFA Congressional Charter, and you can see it in the deliberations and discussion that the student delegates to this convention have had about the National FFA Constitution and bylaws. We should be proud of these efforts, because progress and change today is history in the making tomorrow. Change is also on the horizon for me as your National FFA Advisor. For nearly 50 years, FFA has influenced me as a member, agriculture teacher, chapter advisor, state leader, and for the last 9 years as your National FFA Advisor and Board Chair. I've long told others, for me, this experience has offered uncommon responsibilities for a common man. I'm incredibly honored and proud to have been stationed by the OWL on behalf of FFA members everywhere. Of course, as the advisor, I'm asked to advise you from time to time as the need arises. Before we continue with this wonderful national convention, let me leave you with these two common sense words of wisdom. First, walk with the wise to become wise. FFA members, identify the leaders around you, study their habits, work to develop those positive traits within yourself. Second, dare to be bold. You can run for chapter office, work to solve a problem in your community, or work to find a new skill that you never knew you had. Do something bold that will improve the world for you and someone else. FFA members, it has been my pleasure to serve as your National FFA Advisor.
Well, congratulations on your retirement, Dr. Brown. You will certainly be missed. Well, no replacement has yet been named for the National Advisor position, but you can bet that as soon as it is, you'll hear about it right here on FFA Today. And that's going to take us to our first break. But don't go anywhere. Your exciting new FFA theme makes its radio debut, coming up next on Rural Radio 147. Welcome back to the show. And here now, for the very first time on radio, we unveil the 2019 National FFA Convention and Expo theme song.
Together we can, united forever, taking a stand as we celebrate each other.
We've got a chance to make a change for the better. Fixing the old and the new, we're breaking through, dedicated for forever.
We're learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, living to serve. Leaving our mark, breaking the mold, going all in and taking control.
Actions speak louder than words.
How far we've come along.
We're learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, living to serve. Leaving a mark, breaking the mold, going all in and taking control.
Actions speak louder than words.
We are the
Well, that was certainly a powerful song to get FFA members here excited and moving in their seats. And now moving on to some of the big winners. FFA Today convention correspondent Alex Volcheski visits with this year's Model of Excellence and Middle School Model of Excellence recipients.
Alex Wojcicki reporting for FFA Today, where the Model of Excellence goes to the Covington UVCC FFA chapter of Ohio. Speaking first with Tori Quinter, she is a junior on this team. Tori, tell me a little bit about the Model of Excellence Award.
We got a premier chapter at state for all three divisions, and then Models of Excellence is where you take your whole entire national chapter application and you interview over all of those activities. You get 15 minutes to interview over literally all of your activities that your chapter does for the whole entire year.
So going to Brenna Miller, she's a senior also on this team. Brenna, tell me a little bit about some of the activities that you guys were doing then.
So one of our major activities was our de-stressalizer program. So we noticed our teens and our students and our schools were stressed. So we determined some basic activities that we could do. We had Tai Chi, Zumba class for our students to get together and kind of de-stress on their workload. We did Ag Pro Week. So we're a small school and a lot of our students didn't have basic ag production knowledge. So we brought in skills and professionals directly in front of our members so that they could learn different ag knowledge skills.
Morgan Kimmel, she is also on this chapter. She is a senior. Morgan, tell me about how you guys came up with all of these ideas.
So we like to take, at the beginning of the year, as officers, we like to see what needs to be filled in our chapter, in our community. So once we come up with an idea and we talk to our rest of our members about what they think as well that needs to happen to make us better, we like to come up with a plan. It's like part of our cycle of success. You find the problem and you work through it to finish the problem and make it better.
Going back to Tori, tell me a little bit about how your community has responded to all of this.
We live in such a small community. Like, we're all kind of one big family just because our town is so small. And I feel like our community is definitely very thankful for us. We hold this Veterans Day assembly where we hand out invitations to, or RSVPs to all of our students at our school, and they can bring in veterans, and we have a huge assembly for them. We give them breakfast, and then we have a little blurb about them that we talk about them. We say who is escorting them. We say their name and then where they served, how long they served, and that kind of thing. So I feel like our community is definitely thankful that we're not just recognizing the FFA chapter, but the whole entire Covington community.
Back to Brenna. Brenna, you guys just received the national award. How do you keep going? What's next for you guys?
I think there's always room for improvement somehow. I mean, this is huge. This is the biggest accomplishment we've had. But I mean, going back to our school, we can find more problems that might be caused and try and find new different ways to work on those issues.
And one last time going to Morgan. Morgan, one of the main messages around FFA this year is, how will you change the world? What are you guys doing to change your world?
Oh, man. So this past few weeks, there has been a lot of things going around in school as far as students don't feel like they have a purpose and they don't feel like they belong here anymore. So I would like to change that, and I've come up with a few different ideas, and I've bounced it off of our advisor as far as how can we make them feel like they can get away for a minute and regroup and then continue to help them through that. So some of the things I've thought about is a room that is just for them, and they can express their feelings through paintings or drawings and music. So I would just like to change how people, everybody has a purpose. Everybody's here for a reason, and if we can find a way to get everybody to realize that and get on the same page and work together to allow everybody to have that opportunity, that's what I see needs to happen in the world.
A big congratulations going to the Covington UVCC chapter. They were just awarded the National Award for the Model of Excellence. And the Middle School Model of Excellence was just awarded to Commerce Middle School of Georgia. And I'm visiting with one of the members, Ivy Tolbert. She's in eighth grade. Ivy, tell us a little bit about what this project is.
So basically we started practicing in August, and we had to perform a 15-minute presentation to judges, and then there was 10 minutes of them asking questions, and we won. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'm also with Katie Maxwell. She's in ninth grade. Katie, tell me a little bit about your role in this project.
So really, we really helped with the script, and we went in and we had to practice over and over to get where we are now. And obviously, we're here and we won. So I helped Ms. Davis with our script, our awesome advisor, and just practiced a lot.
Also visiting with Dalty Friedman, she's an eighth grader, a part of this team. Tell me about your role and how this has impacted you.
My role was, like Katie said, we practiced, and we helped make this script that our awesome advisor, Miss Davis, made come to life in that room. And this really impacted me because it made us feel more than just a small town where football is everything.
Going back to Ivy. Ivy, is this the first time you guys have won something of this capacity?
It is our first year as a chapter. Last year was. So it's our first year really winning anything because we weren't a chapter before last year. So yes, it's definitely our first time winning a large award, especially an award at all. But yes.
Katie, tell me a little bit about this competition in general.
It was just a huge little script we made that was composed of the activities we did throughout the year, activities that helped our community, activities that helped our school, and activities that helped spread the word and the many aspects of agriculture. Just everything.
All right, back to Dalty one last time. Dalty, one of the main messages around FFA this year is how will you change the world? What are you guys doing then to change the world?
What we're doing to change the world is we're making FFA a national organization through our school. We're actually making sure students know we're not just farming. We're actually building communities. We're making sure that students know we're not just more than one small farm.
Talking with the ladies from the winners of the Middle School Model of Excellence Award. They are from the Commerce Middle School of Georgia. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki.
Thanks to Alex for her reporting. And stay tuned. It's the big moment, the presentation of your brand new National Officer Team, up next on FFA Today. Well, thanks for tuning in. And now for the moment we've all been waiting for, the unveiling of the 2019-2020 National FFA Officer Team.
The committee nominates the following slate of candidates to the delegates of the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo to serve as national officers for the year 2019-2020. Your Western Region Vice President from the state of New Mexico, Lyle Logaman. Your Eastern Region Vice President from the state of Virginia, Tess Seibel. Your Central Region Vice President from the state of Montana, Mamie Heidel. Your Southern Region Vice President from the territory of Puerto Rico, Jomar Roman. Your National FFA Secretary from the state of Oregon, Courtney Lehman. Finally, your 2019-2020 National FFA President from the state of Ohio, Colson McCoy!
Well, congratulations to all of the new officers and best of luck to them in their year of service ahead. We'll be getting to know each of them just a little bit better in the coming weeks, as well as getting to know some of the other big winners from the 92nd National Convention and Expo. But that will bring this week's show to a close. Now, if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson, signing off from Indianapolis for FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.